Marty Moscoen, welcome to Radio Times. 30 municipalities in Pennsylvania have passed ordinances that require gun owners to report lost or stolen firearms to the police. They include Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Reading, Allentown, and Lancaster, where proponents argue that lost or stolen guns can easily end up in the hands of criminals. Now there's legislation in Harrisburg, HB 1523, that wants to upend those laws. It mandates that those municipalities pay the legal expenses for those suing their lost and stolen firearms ordinances. At issue, supporters say, are consistent state gun laws. It's our topic for today's Radio Times, and we have two guests who join us. And by telephone, we have John Hohenwalter, and he's the National Rifle Association's Pennsylvania liaison. And John, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, thank you, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning. Also with us is Max Nachman. He's Executive Director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania, joining us here in our Philadelphia studios. And Max, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And Max, let me begin with you and focus on these 30 municipalities that have passed these ordinances. Why is this necessary?
Because the state wouldn't do it. This is a basic common sense reform supported by law enforcement, supported by municipalities to help crack down on illegal gun trafficking.
And how does it work? I realize we're talking about 30 municipalities, but basically speaking, how does it work?
Sure. When a firearm owner discovers that their weapon is missing, that it's been lost or stolen, they're required within a reasonable period of time to notify the police so they can begin looking for it before it winds up at the scene of the crime. This is a problem that police have told us happens repeatedly. They find guns at crimes. They trace it back to a supposed law-abiding gun owner who then says, oops, it was lost or stolen, and I never told you. When they go back to the same person over and over and over again, it's clear they're dealing with a gun trafficker or a straw purchaser, but they have no way to prosecute.
And what are the penalties, generally speaking, for not reporting these lost or stolen firearms?
The penalties at this point do vary a little bit from municipality to municipality. In some places, it's a escalating penalty. In other places, it's simply a monetary fine each time. But the real purpose of it is to an indication to police that this is happening over and over and again, and an avenue for prosecution so they can get the person and put them in jail.
John, let me turn to you. Why wouldn't someone report a lost or stolen firearm in Pennsylvania?
Hey, Marty, before we talk about that, I think you have to break down this this debate into two different sections here, one being the issue of lost and stolen, and the other being Pennsylvania state preemption law. And this goes back to what was just said about since the legislature didn't pass this type of policy that these local municipalities had the right to go out and do it. Now, you know, the state legislature, they do a lot of things. They don't do a lot of things. Some people agree with what they do sometimes. Some people disagree. But the bottom line, at the end of the day, Pennsylvania made a decision over 30 years ago to preempt the field of firearms and ammunition, meaning only the state has the ability to regulate firearms and ammunition in this state. And 45 other states across the country have similar laws. So just because a municipality doesn't agree with a policy that's set by the state doesn't give them the authority to go out and pass their own ordinances. In fact, you know, taking a look at Philadelphia, when Philadelphia a few years ago passed several ordinances, the DA at the time, Lynn Abraham, flat out said that she would not enforce these ordinances because they are in defiance of state preemption. And that's really what you have here, Marty, is defiance of state law.
Okay, and we will pick up on that. In fact, I pick up on that with our guest here in our Philadelphia studios. But going back to my original question, why wouldn't someone report a stolen or lost firearm?
Oh, the majority of times they are going to report it. And if you want to look at the issue itself of lost and stolen, it's an ineffective, feel-good proposal, not a good policy making. And, you know, when you take a look at the, first of all, when you discover, let's say, an individual lost or had a stolen firearm.
Right.
More than nine times out of ten, these firearms are going to be reported. Now, you do have situations in which, let's say, an individual has someone in their house working. Maybe he goes on vacation and he gets back and he doesn't realize his firearm is stolen. Well, these individuals, under these proposals, are going to have problems. Now, the penalties associated with these violations are mostly summary offenses.
Well, let me stop you there because I want to, and I'll go back to you, John, but let me get Max in on the conversation because you were shaking your head no.
Sure. Well, the first thing is the example about going on vacation or having someone work in your house, that's a non-issue. Every single law passed by one of these municipalities and the proposal for the state level specifically referred to discovery. This isn't trying to catch somebody, you know, off guard when they couldn't have done anything to prevent it. This is talking about when you notice your firearm is missing. That's a very high standard of proof for prosecutors and for police to prove. This is not trying to hurt law-abiding gun owners. It's trying to find a way to prosecute people who are straw purchasing and illegal trafficking. And to get back to a previous point, when you talked about state preemption, you left out a really important word, and I'm reading the preemption law out of the state crimes code. Local municipalities may not regulate the lawful, that's the key word, lawful ownership, possession, transfer, or transportation of firearms. When your firearm is lost or stolen, the lawful owner no longer possesses it legally. The person who does possess it doesn't possess it legally. And if they stole it, that was an illegal transfer. Or if somebody sold it to them without a background check, that was an illegal transfer. Lost or stolen handgun reporting, local or state, does not violate our state preemption law.
John,
so far, the courts haven't said otherwise.
Let me give you a chance to respond to that. Go ahead, John.
Well, the courts haven't said otherwise is because it never got in front of a court. I mean, we've challenged this in Philadelphia, and we challenged it in Pittsburgh. Two of the ordinances that we filed an injunction against in Philadelphia were thrown out. That was an assault weapons ban and a one gun a month. The other three, one including the lost and stolen, never got in front of the courts because of a standing issue. I mean, clearly these measures are in defiance of state law. Even Governor Corbett, when he was Attorney General, sent a letter out to all the DAs across Pennsylvania indicating that these ordinances are in violation of state preemption. So, you know, the state preemption law is very clear. But getting back, you know, to the lost and stolen issue, to think that, and I think you probably do have cases in which you do have perhaps a bad player who may have sold a firearm, in which, let's say he's investigated, someone shows up at his house, he says, hey, you know what, that firearm, I lost that, or it was stolen. Well, when that happens, what starts at that point is good criminal investigation. Obviously, you know, law enforcement, when they show up at someone's house, they have a pretty good indication of whether this individual is a bad player, whether, you know, he actually did have his firearm.
But they don't know the serial number of that firearm. I mean, they don't have information about that firearm that they could use to trace it.
They don't have information. Well, sometimes they
do. If it hasn't been reported.
No, this is a firearm that shows up at a scene. Let's say a firearm shows up at a scene of a crime. What they do is they try to track that firearm to a certain individual. If they are successful, they knock on someone's door, and if the individual obviously, you know, number one, they may have reported it. Nine times out of ten, a law-abiding citizen is going to report it. Let's say you have someone who may have not known it was lost or stolen at the time, or let's say you have a bad player. You know, at that point, when they show up at that person's house, that's when the investigation starts. Putting a summary offense on a bad player is a joke. We have felony penalties in Pennsylvania for straw purchases. Not only for the individual who sells the firearm, for the individual who buys the firearm, and the seller is then liable for any crimes that are committed with the firearm that he sells illegally. So, you know, Pennsylvania has one of the toughest statutes when it comes to straw purchases.
Well, let me give Max Nachman a chance to weigh in on that. Do you agree?
The fact is, we shouldn't have to wait for a gun to show up at the scene of the crime before police were able to begin looking for it. And the proposal for a state-level version, which the gun lobby and the NRA opposed 4 years ago, did include felony offenses. This is about encouraging responsible ownership for gun owners, and it's about law enforcement and making sure that people who are straw purchasing and illegally trafficking firearms are held accountable for their crimes.
Well, let me just pick up on what you said there, because one of the arguments against your position is that if we're talking about legal gun owners, they're essentially being punished for something that they didn't do.
They're being punished for...
They did not report a missing or stolen firearm. But these are, let's say, legal gun owners.
They were legal gun owners until their gun was stolen. And now, you know, they're either somebody who needs to act responsibly and report their missing firearm, or they're an illegal gun trafficker. And that's a really big distinction.
And do we know how many illegal gun traffickers there are in Pennsylvania? Is there any way to know the answer to that?
I don't think so.
Well, you know, the you know, going back to, you know, whether this issue works or it doesn't work, you know, the legislature rejected this twice over the last couple of years. And this gets back to the preemption issue. Just because you may not necessarily agree with what they do in Harrisburg doesn't give a local community authority to go out and do what they want to do. I mean, and clearly the state preempts other fields, motor vehicles, agriculture, you know, election codes. And just because a municipality doesn't agree with it, we can't have defiance of these statutes.
Well, let me ask you, John Hohenwalter, about a recent report from ATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, actually, and Explosives. I should give the full title. Apparently, when it comes to lost lost or missing guns, Pennsylvania comes in number one.
Well, that report takes a look at firearms that that were stolen from what we call a federal firearm license dealer here in Pennsylvania. You know, Pennsylvania is the sixth most populous state in the country. We probably do as many firearms transactions as any state, with about 400,000 coming in a year through the PIC system here in Pennsylvania. So, you know, why are these firearms being stolen? Well, firearms are stolen in this country. I mean, other states have the same problem. In fact, in Pennsylvania, it's a felony to steal a firearm, whether it be out of a gun shop or whether it be out of someone's home. Again, these penalties are some of the toughest in the country, and Pennsylvania has them on the books.
You want to weigh in on that, Max Nachman?
Sure. I think the obvious question that arises when you hear that Pennsylvania is number one for missing firearms from gun dealers, and then that 6,000 guns are just going missing from a gun shop, is how come the dealers aren't being held accountable? You know, guns aren't like remote controls. You can't lose it between the seat cushions. A gun is never lost. If you don't know where your gun is, if a dealer doesn't know where his inventory is, somebody else does. And if that person had to steal the gun to get it, they probably shouldn't have it. And that's a danger and a threat to our community.
If I may interrupt, they are held accountable. BATF holds every federal firearm license dealer accountable. Bottom line is, these folks did what they had to do. They reported these firearms missing.
Do you agree with that, Max?
No. I think too often these dealers do not report their inventory missing because federal regulations actually inexplicably don't require them to report missing firearms. The ATF discovers these gaps in their inventory when they do their own spot checks every several years.
Well, let's take a very short break and we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking with Max Nachman. That's the voice you just heard. He's executive director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. And joining us by telephone is John Hohenwalter, and he's the National Rifle Association's Pennsylvania liaison. And we're talking about an issue of importance here in the state of Pennsylvania. Some 30 municipalities have passed ordinances requiring gun owners to report lost and stolen firearms to the police. There's legislation that wants to, in a sense, upend those laws. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Do you think the gun owner should report lost or stolen firearms or not? Give us a call, 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Kimmel Center supports WHYY and presents Max Robb and the Potlatch Orchestra, returning to the Kimmel Center on Friday, March 2nd. Celebrating the music of the Weimar Republic, the turbulent era between the two world wars, Robb reveals the complexity, intelligence, and ambiguity of that era's music, reminding us that between melancholy and irony, rebellion and resignation, elegy and slapstick, there often lies a single note or a mere word. Tickets at 215-893-1999 or kimmelcenter.com.
The Discover Newsworks Discover the Philadelphia Region sweepstakes. Newsworks.org is giving away great prizes to our Facebook fans. This week, tickets to see two upcoming concerts at Union Transfer. Search Newsworks.org on Facebook and enter weekly. Share with your friends for extra chances to win. You must like Newsworks.org on Facebook to enter. No purchase necessary. For a complete list of rules, go to Newsworks.org. Newsworks.org, powered by WHYY and you. Smart. Local news.
This week in This American Life, people always told Luis Ortiz that he looked like Barack Obama, and he started to believe them. So one day he put on a suit, went to a Yankees game.
Before you know it, Jumbotron, and people start going nuts. And then people were bringing me their babies, like, can I get a picture? It was just crazy.
What it's like to be Barack Obama, if you're not Barack Obama, this week.
Tomorrow night at 9 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. A number of municipalities, in fact, 30 municipalities in Pennsylvania, have passed ordinances mandating that gun owners report lost or stolen firearms. They believe it'll help to track down illegal guns and stop straw purchases. There is legislation in Harrisburg that would force those communities to pay the legal bills of those challenging their lost or stolen ordinances. It would even allow the NRA to have legal standing. We're talking about this and frankly debating this with John Hohenwalter, the Pennsylvania liaison for the NRA, and Max Nachman, head of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. John, let me go back to you and Ceasefire Pennsylvania, obviously opposing this legislation, but also in opposition to this legislation, the Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police Association, the Pennsylvania District Attorneys Association, the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania League of Cities and Municipalities. They all oppose this legislation. What do you say in response to that? Are they wrong?
Well, I haven't seen actually their reasoning for opposing this legislation. It seems to me that this is a common sense legislation. We're hoping that once this law is passed and it's on the books that you will see these local municipalities getting rid of their ordinances. I mean, obviously, you know, NRA doesn't want to have to go in and litigate in all these local municipalities, but if we have to, we will.
You will? I mean, is that if this passes, you will challenge the 30 municipalities in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think the first step is that these municipalities have to eliminate these ordinances. And by doing so, obviously, they will avoid any litigation. If they refuse to eliminate these ordinances, obviously litigation is the second step.
But you don't mind being on the opposite side of the Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police Association, for instance?
Being on the opposite side of the Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police is seems to be common this day when it comes to protecting the Second Amendment.
So you see the Chiefs of Police as opposing the Second Amendment?
I don't know if I would label it opposing the Second Amendment. We just have seen over the years that the Chiefs of Police Association oftentimes disagree with how we interpret the Second Amendment.
How do you interpret the Second Amendment, Max Nachman?
I interpret the Second Amendment the same way the Supreme Court interprets the Second Amendment, which is that there's a right to bear arms, but like any other right, certain limitations are allowed based on local needs and circumstances. I think it's really interesting that the NRA is constantly talking about enforcing the law. At the same time, they put themselves on the opposite side of issue after issue after issue, whether it comes to this law to punish cities or statewide lost or stolen handgun reporting. Pennsylvania Chiefs of Police Association, prosecutors, municipalities, these are all organizations that are dedicated to enforcing the law, to getting criminals off the street, to creating safe, productive communities. They all oppose this legislation to punish cities. They all support lost or stolen handgun reporting. And the only organization that supports 1523 and that opposes lost or stolen for some reason is the NRA. And they are not working to create safe, productive communities.
Max, if you take a look, there was a commission that was put together by Governor Ed Rendell. It was called the Commission on Gun Violence. It was a 26-member commission. They had a number of different meetings, and they were charged with coming out with a report on recommendations on solving gun violence. Out of that report, there was not one recommendation for gun control. All the recommendations were around enforcing the laws that we have on the books and getting violent offenders off the street. And sadly enough, we don't see enough of that, particularly in the city of Philadelphia. And you have a city that has 80,000 outstanding warrants in the city. We have a revolving door judicial system down there. In fact, the FOP, time and time again, has come out screaming to stop parole on these violent felons that keep getting out of jail and keep committing crimes. So clearly, if you have the Rendell Commission coming out and saying that it's not a gun control problem, that it's an enforcement problem, I think that says a lot about the issue.
Well, and since we're in Philadelphia, you can respond to that, Max Nachman, and we've got Mayor Rick Gray waiting on the line. But go ahead, Max.
Sure. Well, I agree with you. There are a lot of major problems with the way the courts work in Philadelphia and across Pennsylvania. And that's why Ceasefire PA, including myself, I go to court. I go to the sentencing hearings. I ask the judges to put people in jail instead of giving them parole or probation. You know, I don't see a lot of members from the gun lobby coming to sit in and talk to the judges and ask them for those penalties. I don't see how you can call for effective enforcement of the law if you don't take advice from prosecutors and police, the people who are responsible for enforcing the law.
And that's Mac Nachman, Executive Director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. On the telephone is Hohenwarter, and he's the National Rifle Association's Pennsylvania liaison. And joining us now by telephone is Rick Gray. He's the mayor of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And Mayor Gray, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, it's nice to be with you, Marty.
I know Lancaster passed an ordinance back in 2009. What does it say?
Well, basically, it says that within 72 hours after you discover that a gun has been lost or stolen, you're to report it to the police department.
And how?
That's it.
And this is in the last couple of years. How many times has that happened?
Well, as to people reporting guns lost or stolen, rarely, if ever, a legitimate gun owner that finds a gun lost or stolen doesn't report it. So, you know, we've had guns reported being lost and stolen. We haven't prosecuted anybody at all under the ordinance.
And why is that?
Well, it'd be very difficult to enforce on a local level. Really, we need a statewide ordinance along those lines. I was a criminal defense attorney prior to becoming mayor. I was president of the Pennsylvania Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. And I know in settings where individuals have purchased guns legally and then sold them illegally, when they were later confronted by the police months or years later with the fact that a gun that they had purchased had been used in a crime, they very often would use the excuse that it had been lost or stolen at some earlier time. And it was a common excuse that was used in those settings. The police couldn't prove a negative. They couldn't prove that it wasn't lost or stolen. And this is pretty much just setting a standard. Our chief of police said the other day that you don't have to pass a law to tell people when lawn ornaments are stolen, you should call it in. Guns are a special situation, and it just aids in taking this excuse away from potential straw sellers.
So what do you think about this proposed legislation in Harrisburg, HB 1523, that would challenge your ordinance?
Well, I've practiced law for 40 years, and I've never seen anything like that. I mean, to force cash-strapped municipalities to be fearful of filling gun lamps and gun things where the General Assembly has decided not to act, I've never seen anything like that, and I think it's an outrage that they would want to do that. The whole argument about uniformity breaks down when you think of how Pennsylvania is constituted. I used to have a cabin down along the Susquehanna River in Peckway. On Saturday and Sunday, there were gunshots all day. I mean, guys target practicing. There were block shoots down there. And nobody batted an eye. It was part of the culture of Peckway and rural Lancaster County that guns were used and they were prevalent. In the city of Lancaster, which is basically 60,000 people in 4 square miles, if you hear a gunshot on a Saturday afternoon, you hit the floor. So Lancaster obviously has a different problem than Peckway has and needs different solutions. To say that everything should be uniform would be good if we had a General Assembly that had a little bit of moxie and were willing to actually address this problem rather than just cave to the gun lobby, which is what 1523 is.
Well, hold on one second, Mayor Gray, because I want to get to John Hohenwalter back in on the conversation. And he is saying that the legislature is bowing to the gun lobby, and most especially the National Rifle Association. Yes?
No, I think what they're doing is they're acknowledging that the regulation of firearms and ammunition is a matter of statewide concern. They decided to preempt that field back in 1974, and they're trying to restore that the original intent. Mayor, going back to the discharge issue, discharge is a separate issue as far as whether or not a municipality can do it or not. You know, a local municipality can regulate discharge.
You want to weigh in on that, Mayor Gray?
Well, I agree with that. We have a discharge ordinance that's been upheld by the courts. I would disagree on the fact that this in any way regulates firearms. The lost and stolen gun, all that does is ask that people who have guns and exercise their rights under the Second Amendment act responsibly when those guns are put in circulation by criminals, basically. But it doesn't regulate. How does reporting that a gun has been lost or stolen in any way regulate your right to possess or own a firearm? I don't understand that rationale.
Go ahead, Tom.
I think the better question is, how is reporting a lost or stolen firearm going to reduce straw purchases in the Commonwealth?
Just finish your thought, John, and then...
Straw purchases already have felony penalties attached to it. As I said earlier in the show, we have some of the toughest laws when it comes to straw purchases, whether you're the purchaser or the individual selling the firearm. To think that having summary penalties for a bad actor not reporting a lost and stolen firearm, to think that that's going to curb crime, I think, is being quite naive.
Go ahead, Mayor Gray.
Well, I agree it's being naive. That's why it should be a felony or at least a misdemeanor. But the state is the only one that can do that, and, of course, you wouldn't let them do it, John. The other thing is this. It's not going to cut down on lost or stolen purchases. Straw purchases. What it's going to do is cut down on excuses that criminals who are involved in those use. Show me a responsible gun owner that finds his gun has been lost or stolen within 72 hours, doesn't report it to the police. Tell me someone who's had a burglary and had just their guns taken, and you know in burglaries, number one is cash is what the burglar is looking for. Number two is firearms. Tell me somebody that came home and finds his gun cabinet empty is not going to call the police. So all it does is take away an excuse from people who engage in this type of activity and possibly result in a higher conviction rate.
Well, that's all it does. Well, hold on 1 second. So are you saying, Mayor Gray, that if someone does not report a lost or stolen gun in Pennsylvania, they are, in a sense, operating some kind of criminal enterprise, selling illegal guns?
No. Basically, this is an excuse used by people who engage in selling guns illegally. It's an excuse used when apprehended or when questioned by the police that the gun was lost or stolen. So all it would do is take an excuse away from criminals. That's all it would do.
Go ahead, John Homan-Walter.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with that. There are bad actors that do, we'll say that as an excuse, but that's when criminal investigation steps in. In fact, one could argue that this law would actually impede criminal investigation. For instance, if you take a look at the Philadelphia Gun Task Force, if they just show up on someone's front door knocking, questioning them about a firearm that turned up at a crime scene, and the individual behind the door indicates that gun was lost or stolen, law enforcement has a pretty good idea whether or not that individual is telling the truth or whether or not he's a bad actor. If he's a bad actor, that's where a criminal investigation starts. That's when they have undercover agents that will start following this individual. And, in fact, if he's in the business of selling illegal firearms, they're going to get them, and they're getting them in Philadelphia using that type of enforcement method.
Well, I
don't know what world John lives in, but it's not the real world. If that's what he thinks happens when someone buys a gun and then sells it in a straw purchase and then is later confronted by the police, that person gives this excuse, and that's the end of it, 99 9/10% of the time. To try to trace it, to try to get through all these things, to follow an individual. Now, it would be different if they were in a big business in doing this, but how about the guy that just does it maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 times? The police don't have those kind of resources. With the guns, I heard John say earlier we should enforce the laws that are on the books.
Right.
These laws are on the books. These laws are on the books. Let's enforce them.
And you're talking about these ordinances in Lancaster and 29 other municipalities.
They're on the books right now. Another thing is, if you want to discourage guns, why such easy sentences for people who are possessed with possessing concealed weapons don't have any permit to do? I mean, it's so easy to get a permit in Pennsylvania right now that if you can walk and chew gum and don't have a record, a criminal record, you can pretty much get a license to carry a gun.
Well, let me get Max Nagman in on the conversation. Max, you've been listening. Anything you want to add to what we've been hearing from the mayor and John Hohenwalter?
Absolutely. I think Mayor Gray really hits the nail on the head when he talks about, you know, what happens when police show up at the door of somebody who's been trafficking firearms, maybe two or three of them, and simply says, oops, I lost it or I stole it. You know, investigators, prosecutors, police have incredible caseloads. And when someone tells them, oops, it was lost or oops, it was stolen, you know, that really throws up a block. It's a dead end. If we can instead establish a standard of accountability, a statewide standard of accountability would be better, but I'll take it in the cities that are struggling the most. That's a really important step in the right direction. All of these cities that have passed a local lost or stolen ordinance are sending a message in two directions. First, they're sending a message to criminals and gun traffickers that it will not be tolerated anymore. If you traffic illegal guns, if you use illegal guns, you will be caught and you're going to go to jail. But the other message is to the legislature that has refused to act, saying that we are desperately trying to do something. We want to put these people in jail. Will you help us? And so far, those pleas have been ignored.
Well, and Mayor Gray, and hold on, John, only because we have to say goodbye to Mayor Gray in about a minute or so. But let's assume HB 1523 passes. What will you and other mayors against illegal guns in Pennsylvania do?
Well, we won't do anything. We'll be sued by John and his cohorts with a lot of frivolous suits, and we'll win. That's what we'll do. But the other thing, I think you have to look at this. Frankly, I think we have the authority to pass lost and stolen gun ordinances, or I wouldn't have recommended it and seen our city council unanimously approve it. If we didn't have authority, if I thought that was the case, I wouldn't have done it. But, you know, it's interesting in these lawsuits. This bill will encourage frivolous lawsuits. The standing is so loose that everybody from the ACLU to the motorcycle club can bring a lawsuit against the city. It encourages frivolous suits. And, you know, one of the most onerous things about it is, let's say somebody sues the city of Lancaster, and we spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 defending the suit, and we win. Does that party pay our court costs? Does that party pay our legal fees? No, the taxpayers take it. The taxpayers take it on the chin, defending frivolous suits. At minimum, if they do this, at minimum, they should include that the taxpayers are reimbursed for any suit that's not successful. If you want to start paying attorney's fees, pay us all.
Well, on that note, we have to say goodbye to you. Mayor Rick Gray, thanks for joining us today, Radio
Marty.
Times. Mayor of Lancaster, a member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. John Hohenwalter, the National Rifle Association's Pennsylvania liaison, will stay with us along with Max Nagman, Executive Director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wake up and live, don't mind the rainy patter, and you will find it's mind over matter. Dark clouds will break up if you just wake up and live.
It took a long time for Catherine Russell to go from backup singer to solo performer, but we're lucky she finally did. On the next Fresh Air, Russell performs songs from her new album. Join us
this afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Find your place in the sun.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. A physicist turns activist to get his fellow scientists to stop hogging their data and share. He says it could lead to new scientific discoveries. Also, could there ever be a marathon run in under 2 hours? Olympian Alberto Salazar weighs in. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
In Philadelphia, everyone is reading Create Dangerously, The Immigrant Artist at Work by Edwige Danticat. Celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2012 with lead sponsor Walmart, the Free Library of Philadelphia's One Book, One Philadelphia program features 8 inspired weeks of workshops, performances, and discussions through March 17th. Details at freelibrary.org/onebook. The Free Library of Philadelphia proudly supports WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. Just to recap, 30 municipalities in Pennsylvania have passed ordinances that require gun owners to report lost or stolen firearms. There's legislation pending in Harrisburg, HB 1523, that wants to upend those laws, basically calling for consistent state gun laws. And we are debating this issue with John Hohenwerter, and he's the NRA's Pennsylvania liaison, and Max Nachman, executive director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We are interested in where you stand on these ordinances and HB 1523. Let me get Frank from Broomall to join our conversation. And Frank, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Just a quick comment. You know, I think this is really a national problem. I know it happens in Pennsylvania, but it's prevalent in all 50 states. And I just feel that there should be some national legislation along the lines of the reporting of lost or stolen. And just another comment about your NRA advocate.
Sure.
Has he ever been a law enforcement officer? Has he ever been involved in a raid where individuals, he has to unarm individuals? I think he would feel different if he was put in that position.
Well, Frank, let's find out, and thanks for calling into Radio Times. And John Hohenwerter, go ahead.
Well, Frank, I don't know if you were listening to the show earlier when I talked about Governor Rendell, his commission on gun violence, which was made up of law enforcement officers. Even the commission didn't recommend this ordinance as a crime-fighting tool. I mean, clearly, it's feel-good legislation. It's good. It's not good legislation.
But have you ever been a law enforcement officer, John?
No, I have not.
Okay, fair enough. Max, let me go and take Frank's first point, which is to say that, and he's clearly in support of reporting lost and stolen guns, making it a national issue as opposed to 50 different state issues.
Sure. I think national legislation would be an excellent idea. In fact, legislation to that effect was introduced in the last session of Congress based on the ordinance, or actually based on the legislation that the state rejected and these 30 cities have adopted. The broader net this casts, the better.
Well, can I ask Max a question?
Yes,
would you
please
support mandatory reporting of any item stolen, such as an automobile or jewelry or GPS out of your car? I mean, clearly these are all crime-related activities.
Sure, and if your car is stolen, in order to file an insurance claim, you have to report it missing. And the difference between a GPS and a gun is you can't shoot somebody with a GPS unit.
But this is not mandatory, Max, to even report your car stolen or missing.
That may be, but if your kid stole your car and hit somebody with it, you might be held liable for the damage, and the same should apply to a gun.
Let me get, looks like Ellen from Malvern to join our conversation. And Ellen, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning. I actually have two questions for the gentleman from the NRA.
Okay.
The first is, and I truly don't understand this, what is wrong with having transparency around stolen or missing guns? I don't understand why it's so difficult to, not so difficult, but so wrong to have to pick up a phone and report that a firearm has been stolen or that it's missing.
Okay, let's take that first question, and John, go ahead.
Well, the first thing, these ordinances, again, have a large net in which they can also create a scenario in which you have a law-abiding individual having to defend themselves in the court of law whether or not they knew their firearm was missing. The second thing, these laws are ineffective. Again, they're summary offenses. Pennsylvania has felonies for this activity, felony offenses, and we still have straw purchase problems in some of the cities.
Go ahead, Max. It looks like you want to add something as well.
This should be a felony. It should be a state law. Cities are doing the little bit they can in the space that remains. And whether or not you knew your firearm was missing, is protected, the law-abiding gun owner who didn't know it, by the discovery clause in all of his local laws. We're not trying to catch anybody off guard.
And the word discovery is important, right?
The word discovery is crucial, and it was put in because the NRA demanded it 4 years ago.
Ellen, you had another question?
Yes, I did. Thank you. This actually refers to campaign contributions, and I would like to know an approximate number of the dollars that the NRA donates to Pennsylvania legislators or would-be legislators for their elections or re-elections, please.
John, can you answer that?
Well, I can't give you that number off the top of my head, but that information is available. It's all public information, so I would, you know, encourage you to go find out.
But the NRA does, and legally, does lobby and support particular candidates, yes?
Yes. Could I make a quick comment, please?
Well, you know what? Very quick, Ellen, because we've got a lot of callers.
It will be, I promise.
Okay,
This, to me, and I don't know the amounts either. I would think that the representative of the NRA would know the amounts, but it sounds to me like the NRA is simply trying to buy a silly piece of legislation that will discourage anyone from dealing with missing or stolen guns. That's all I have to say. Thank
you. Okay, Ellen, thanks for the call. John, you want to respond to that?
Well, NRA was instrumental in obtaining $5 million a year for the city of Philadelphia to put together this gun task force, which over the last 5-6 years have had over 600 arrests. So, you know, NRA supports those measures that are tough on crime and will get the job done. Again, feel-good legislation does not mean good legislation.
Max, does Ceasefire Pennsylvania, do they also support particular candidates and give contributions and lobby?
We do lobby and we do support candidates to the extent that we can as a much smaller organization. We think candidates who stand up for their communities need to be supported, and those who sell them down the river need to be called out.
Is there any way to know, though, that and there is a problem in Philadelphia of illegal guns, that the illegal guns sold in Philadelphia can be traced back to lost or missing guns, either from gun dealers or from individual homes?
Sure, absolutely. But you'd have to talk to law enforcement for those specific details. The gun lobby has pushed federal legislation that blocks organizations like mine from gaining access to that data because of how well it would prove our point. Guns travel with people. Guns, you know, it's the people. So they travel in and out of Philadelphia, in and out of Pennsylvania. And if there's a problem in one place, that problem can spread to anywhere.
Let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Bailey joining us from Pennington, New Jersey. And Bailey, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Do we have Bailey? All right. Well, let me try another caller or also we can get back to our listeners as well. And Max Nachman, let me go back to you. This is a bill that's in the Pennsylvania legislature. It was voted on, I guess, in one particular committee. Mm-hmm. Where does this stand today?
It was voted on the Judiciary Committee 2 weeks ago. They surprised us with a vote. They gave us about a day's notice. They had no public hearing, no testimony from officials or from law enforcement officers. They just had a surprise committee vote. Only the NRA and their supporters had an opportunity to put an amendment in the committee because no one else knew it was coming ahead of time. Now it could be considered by the legislature sometime in the middle of March.
But you're saying that, if you had been given notice, would your organization have gone to testify?
Absolutely. And we wouldn't have been alone. We would have been standing there with police chiefs and mayors who are appalled by the fact that the legislature would consider punishing them for punishing criminals.
John, you want to weigh in on that? And then we'll try our callers again.
Well, first of all, there was no opportunity to testify. Even NRA didn't testify. And the committee meeting was sunshine, as all committee meetings are in Harrisburg. Both sides of the aisle knew about the meeting. And whether your organization knew about it or not is not a question. Max, I think what a question is that the legislature decided to move forward with this proposal because it makes sense.
Was the sunshine apply to what we're talking about, Max?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not a lobbyist. But I do know that the mayors and the police chiefs who are affected most by this didn't know about it until the Friday afternoon before the Monday morning voting session.
Let me get, looks like Jeff from Yardley to join our conversation. And Jeff, go ahead. You are on Radio Times. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air. No, we seem to be having some phone problems here. We are taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Well, John, let me go back to you in terms of the NRA and where this legislation goes from here. Where do you see it going?
Oh, I see it, passing the House, hopefully within the next few weeks, and then we'll move over to the Senate for debate. Going back to what Mayor Gray said earlier about Lancaster winning in this type of litigation, well, this type of litigation, every time it came before the courts in the last 30 years, municipalities have lost. And why Mayor Gray all of a sudden thinks that the Supreme Court or the appellate courts are going to change the decision on this, I don't know.
Well, do you share Mayor Gray's confidence, Max Nachman?
I do. Again, I think a word that is commonly left out when extreme gun advocates talk about the preemption clause is the word lawful. State law preempts municipalities from passing local laws governing the lawful use, transfer, ownership, possession of firearms. When your gun is lost or stolen, there's nothing lawful about it. You don't lawfully possess it. The person who does possess it doesn't possess it lawfully, and the transfer sure wasn't lawful. This is about responsible practices and about illegal gun trafficking.
And Johnny, going back to you and just underscoring something that you seemed to indicate earlier, that if this bill passes in the Pennsylvania legislature, the NRA will sue the 30 municipalities that have these ordinances?
Well, again, the first step would be for these local municipalities to get rid of the ordinances. The second step would be, if they don't get rid of them, would be to litigate. And, bottom line is, Marty, we can't have a state set up in which we could have 3,000 different types of firearm laws. And that's, I think, is what I'm hearing from Max, that these local municipalities should be able to decide what they want to do. Again, when you have the State Attorney General coming out and saying that these laws are in defiance of state law, and former DA Lynn Abraham, who we have not, as far as our association and Lynn on other issues, have not seen eye to eye in the past, but when she comes out and indicates that she has no intention of enforcing these laws, I think it's pretty clear that that these laws are in question.
But why? And again, this is a big if. But why, if this legislation is passed, should these local municipalities pay your court costs? What's the logic in that?
Well, it's a punitive action to stop local municipalities from defying state law. In fact, this proposal doesn't even go as far as what some legislators wanted to see. Which would be withholding state money to local municipalities that have these laws on the books.
And would you have favored that?
Absolutely.
The idea of withholding state money to places like Philadelphia or Lancaster or Pittsburgh?
Absolutely.
Max, what's the argument for not having or for having local municipalities having their own particular laws versus statewide laws?
First of all, we're not talking about a lot of different laws. We're talking about one law that every major city in the state has passed and dozens of other municipalities. These cities are no longer the exceptions. They're the standard. And when that's the case, if the state is really serious about creating a uniform system, they ought to pass a statewide law so we're all protected by one accountability blanket. And the argument for these cities to take local action is that the state wouldn't do it. Cities like Philadelphia, like Lancaster, like Pittsburgh, like Reading, like Allentown, like Erie are struggling with gun violence records like never before. And the state has, for more than a decade, refused to do anything about it. So cities are taking whatever action they can. And we keep talking about the former state attorney general, the current governor, and where he stands on this. He's pushing the same agenda that the gun lobby is pushing. We're here in Philadelphia right now, and other parts of the state have the same problem with the Florida loophole. As attorney general, he knew about that problem but refused to even look into it. People who are denied Pennsylvania concealed carry permits, getting them from another state. I know that's off topic, but I think it goes to the issue, which is these people are just pushing a narrow issue agenda on behalf of the NRA.
Max, John had talked several times about the Rendell task force that was assembled. Can you respond to their findings?
Sure. I'm not exactly sure about the task force's findings. I do know that Governor Rendell was a strong supporter of a statewide lost or stolen handgun reporting requirement.
So where does the issue go from here, John?
Well, from here, it's going to go for a vote in front of the full House, hopefully in the next few weeks, and from there it will go over to the Senate for debate. And I'm hopeful, before the summer break, that we have a law in the books here for Pennsylvania.
And from your perspective, Max, what is your organization going to do?
We're going to make sure the people who live in these cities know that their representatives, nearly 75 of them who represent cities that have passed, lost, or stolen, are turning their back on them. And we'll see if they still want to go through with this action. I think that when they're called out for selling out their communities, they might think twice.
John, do you think at that, and I don't want to speak for Ceasefire Pennsylvania, but critics of this law, bottom line, want to take people's guns away?
Do they want to take people's guns away?
I mean, no. do you think by instituting some more regulations that the goal is to take people's gun rights away?
Quite frankly, Marty, I don't know why they're opposed, and I haven't actually had an opportunity to talk to any of these individuals or read any of their information they may have put out on it. But, you know, this bill, you have to keep in mind, came out of committee almost unanimous with bipartisan support. So I think that speaks a lot to what the legislature is trying to accomplish here, and that is to restore, preempting the field of firearms and ammunition, which is under attack right now by these local municipalities.
Well, we have to end our conversation. John Hohenwarter, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
And he's the Pennsylvania liaison for the NRA, the National Rifle Association. And Max Nachman, thank you for joining us as well.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. He is the executive director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. And we also heard from Rick Gray, the mayor of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and a member of Mayors Against Illegal Guns. I do apologize to our callers. We seem to be having some phone problems. We were not able to get all the callers we wanted on the air. But you can go to our website, go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and send us an email. And there's probably a Facebook conversation taking place there as well, so you can weigh in on that. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. We'll be right back.